Sports Hub headlines.
The Chicago Bulls are in town tonight to take on the Boston Celtics, who will not have Kyrie Irving available to them tonight or any other night for the rest of the season and into the postseason. He'll undergo a procedure and take care of that knee, and he's going to be out for the next 45 months. So, instead, we'll hear John Wallach calling the names of other players tonight, starting at 7:30, alongside Cedric Maxwell here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Red Sox with another extra-inning victory, this time 3-2, took 12 to beat the Rays in the Red Sox home opener yesterday. Hanley Ramirez drove in the winning run, but it's not all about him.
You know, Johnny, it's a team win. Price,
teamwork.
Unbelievable job. Bullpen, you know, Bobby came in, and Kimbrough. So, you know, when you got everything, it makes it easy for everybody.
That's right, and you had J.D. hitting that 111-mile-an-hour out.
That's right.
It on screws.
That's right. It's a day off for the Red Sox. They will resume the series tomorrow. Rick Porcello will get the start. Bruins home to host the Senators tomorrow night after taking the 3-2 loss to the Panthers in Florida last night. Revolution play host to the Montreal Impact at Gillette Stadium. That game will be heard on the 98.5 The Sports Hub HD2 channel at 7:30. And at the Masters, Jordan Spieth, your round one leader, is 3 over through the first two holes today. Holding steady there at 3 over on his round, but that puts him in a tie for first with a whole bunch of other players, including Matt Kuchar, Rory McIlroy, Rafael Cabrera-Bejo, Henrik Stenson, Charlie Hoffman, Patrick Reed. A lot of those guys, including Stenson, Hoffman, and Reed, won't tee off until later today. Headlines are brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Visit now for a 15-minute oil change. You can stay in your car. No appointments ever needed. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
This is the station for the fans of the home teams. Pass us. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. I just want to use your love tonight. I don't want to lose your love tonight. I ain't got many friends left to talk to. The ways are open, I'm in trouble.
Hour number two. Hour number three, noontime hour. Zolak and Bertrand. Wow, show's flying by. Flying by today.
Sitting around waiting for Tiger to tee up. Let's talk some football until that happens.
You get over an hour.
Let's talk some football until that happens.
Calm down.
Let's do some football.
Why don't you calm down? Patriots have signed, according to reports, Jordan Matthews' one-year deal. What do you make of that? We talked about it briefly yesterday. Didn't really get into it. I was on board with it. I'm glad they did.
It's a LaFell guy, 6'3". 6'3", good size, uses the body. More importantly, and even Reese tweeted out, you know, some of the interior stuff he was running when he was with Philly. He goes over the middle.
He does.
He's your toss, sweep, reverse, pivot, boom, stick the slant on him backside. Can never do that with Cooks. Not again to pick on Cooks. Not even same type of player. Totally different player. He's not here to replace Cooks. He's here to play X, which is what Cooks played. But we're getting back to Patriot football. Inside, curls, digs, comebacks, hitches, slants. More importantly, flow one way, vacate the middle, throw it to the bubble to the backside, and you got an accurate quarterback sticking it between, you know, whatever number he's going to wear. I don't know what number.
Now, we don't know all the details of it yet, but are you surprised they got him on a one-year deal? I mean, I know that he's coming off surgery. He's coming off an injury. But wasn't he good enough before last year that you'd think someone would give him?
Isn't it?
Something more?
Isn't it interesting that maybe...
I was sort of surprised.
Maybe he
pleasantly surprised.
Maybe there were other offers, and maybe he wants to come here to play for Brady for a chance to win.
Maybe he does.
And you know what? I'll take a risk. I'll roll the dice a little bit. I'll do a one-year deal to prove that I can play, get a chance to win, and then I got a chance to get another contract.
Well, this was the other part. Based on the money that receivers are getting, if he comes here for 1 year and lights it on fire, and I'm not saying he's going to.
Becomes a $6 million player. Easily. That freaking third tight end from Philly got 8 a year.
Now, we're going to assume for the sake of the conversation that Julian Edelman comes back, okay, and is healthy and gets a ton of catches. What if Jordan Matthews, I don't know, comes back and catches 65 passes? Think he can do that?
65?
Yeah.
I think that's a high number. I wouldn't go 65.
Well, that's I'd go, I'm putting it out there. I think it's more like...
I go more high 40s.
No. But I'm saying if he were to do this.
Oh, whoa.
In his mind. Put yourself in Jordan Matthews' mind right now.
Okay.
He's like, well, if I can go there and catch 65 balls.
If I could replicate what Cooks did from a number standpoint. Payday, baby. Payday.
And that would be...
Not necessarily here. It could be elsewhere.
Exactly. Just means somewhere. Someone's going to pay him because he's going to prove that he's not hurt.
He plays a full season
and all that.
You know what he is, too? He's Malcolm Mitchell. They're like the same. So at least you're going to be able to line two guys up and have them compete. And say one goes down, they're interchangeable.
And of course, I threw out the number 65 because that's what Brandon Cooks had last year.
Right.
But you're also talking about how many catches do you know how many catches Danny Amendola had last year?
Oh, not a ton. He didn't catch fire till the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
So would it surprise you to know he had 61 catches last year?
Yep. I would say high 40s.
I would say no chance too, but yeah. I just looked at Matthews year by year. I was shocked to look at the reception numbers. I mean, he's right there at that number every year.
That's what I mean.
Except for the Bills year.
I'm saying, but he was hurt and he missed time. It went on IR.
He had Tyrod Taylor throwing him the ball.
Yeah, exactly. He had a terrible quarterback throwing him the football. Look at what he did when he was in Philadelphia. His first 3 years, he caught 225 passes for almost 2,700 yards. Again, that's just a statistical breakdown. That doesn't even get into the part of what type of receiver he is. And we think that he'll be a fit here. I think he'll work here. But he looks at it and probably thinks, if I can go there for 1 year, prove I'm healthy, prove that I'm who I think I am, and what I've already been in this league, I'll go back out on the market in a year from now and cash in.
Yeah, you didn't pick up a no-namer here.
No, this guy can play.
Played in the league, yeah.
And which is why, again...
It's a smart signing.
I'm like, he'll probably get more than a year. Some will probably get stupid and...
But think
that seems to be a position that teams are getting desperate at in this league.
Think about that. What you were ultimately going to have to pay Cooks here and be pushing $9 million bucks per, to say he could even get near. Say if he even gets 60, and look at the deal that he signed for. So you talk about value there. Different player. Totally different expectations for the player. This is like what Jim said 2 days ago. This is Brandon LaFell all over again. You're going back to running some of that ball control offense. Bang routes. Stick routes. All that stuff. Cooks wouldn't do that. I wouldn't say Cooks wouldn't do it. Cooks couldn't do that. And it's like watching a replacement. Trying to watch him catch a slant pass. Like, hold your breath. Do you get it? Ooh. Why is he always falling?
If Jordan Matthews is healthy, there are other guys on this roster that are in danger of getting cut in camp.
Yeah.
Dorsett. Or Kenny Britt, or any of these other garbage guys.
I put Britt ahead of him, yeah.
Ahead of who?
I put Dorsett ahead of Britt for a pecking order of getting cut.
I'm saying someone's in danger of getting cut here.
Yeah, I think they appreciate Dorsett more than you think.
Well, we kind of got the sense in talking to Chad O'Shea at the Super Bowl that they like him because they don't expect much from him.
He does what we ask him to do.
They like him for that catch in the AFC Championship game.
I think he does what they ask him to do, and then you make a play here or there. The problem with Britt is that he really doesn't do what they ask him to do, and then you don't really get the opportunity to play. That's a big difference.
I wouldn't rule out Mitchell getting cut either.
Well, I think
he's sort of entering that Aaron Dobson territory of not on-the-field production, but the injury stuff. He can't make the club from the tub, right?
I wouldn't even put that tag on him. I think they like him more than Dobson.
I think that's strong.
Yeah,
because Malcolm Mitchell has proven that he can play.
I never looked at Dobson and said, boy, this kid can play. Like, you're always hoping. Mitchell kind of blew you away as a rookie.
I mean, even Dobson got 3 years here. This would be Mitchell going into his third. And Mitchell's a guy who can play. So he's a guy that you try and hang on to because you know the possibilities. You know the potential. Dobson couldn't play. Hmm. A lot of guys got time here that they probably didn't deserve. How many years did Chad Jackson last? Oh, he only lasted two, didn't he? Jackson was a 2-year guy before they moved on from that. Taylor Price? How long did he last? Is it two or three seasons?
He's got a couple of replies. Matthews a replacement for Amendola? No, Matthews is 6'3". He can run some inside slot stuff. But Danny's a completely different player than that.
Well, let's talk more about that here in this noontime hour. 617-779-0985. Also, we're going to hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick in the near future and why that's unusual. We'll get to that next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now we got a robot.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind.
Cause your speech does suck. He really does suck. Cause he hit one in behind. Get it in to the sand trap. Get another bogey for me. Jordan Spieth will be +3 on the day, and I'd like it if it's +15.
Not bad.
He brought it around. Dance. That's how Bob Sosi would say dance. Dance. Kind of a weird song. Oh, it picks up right there.
There we go.
Yeah.
12:20 Friday afternoon. Zolak and Bertrand.
I don't know what to say.
Party along with us, keeping things, getting things back on track.
Please.
Take more of your phone calls. Got a lot on the table here. Red Sox with another extra inning win yesterday.
Okay. All right. Hey, you know what? Jim, do we have the Johnny Manziel sound ready to go yet? Johnny Manziel on were we saving that?
Well, we can get to that. I just wanted to mention that Bill Belichick is going to do a pre-draft press conference, which he's never done. Or maybe not never. I'm sure he's done one at some point. But recent years?
I do a lot of things prior to the draft and based with the show and all access and that. We never have access to Bill or have any sound on
maybe that. 10 years ago he was doing one. I don't remember. And someone who's on the beat probably has a better recollection of this. But in recent years, it's been Caserio that's done stuff like this.
Correct. I get handed Nick. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. On a platter.
This year?
It's Bill.
Because Bill is apparently running off the job and they're, you know, paying him oodles of money to stay, is all of a sudden volunteering to go out and do the pregame, the pregame press here before the big night of the draft.
He loves this stuff, by the way. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it too hard?
I think Bill Belichick, quickly, Hardy,
is taking this draft by the balls.
Great.
That's what I think he's doing.
I'm not interested in anything Bill Belichick has to say until he answers for not playing Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl.
That's fair.
Not interested. I never answered for it. Instead, all he said was, we're not talking about last year, we're talking about this year. Not interested. I'm not interested in what you have to say until you give even a Belichick non-answer.
Humanitarian answer.
I would settle for.
Okay, that's fine. I don't blame you for that.
You know?
You can feel that way. I'm sure a lot of people feel that way.
So forget about what he has to say. I don't care. But let's talk about what he's going to do in the draft. What makes you think he's got this thing by the short hairs?
Oh, I don't mean in terms of he's going to win the draft. I just mean in terms of he's approach. More into this than ever before.
Yeah. There was a tweet by the team put out today, and they had a little cute video montage.
He's taking it by the horns.
Where in the world is Bill Belichick? And it showed every date.
Up in there.
Right up in there. Scouting thing he's been to.
And you got your head all the way up in it. Hoo-ah.
Thank you. It's fine. I'm good. I'm glad.
Hey, Charlie.
I wouldn't even ask him to a press conference. Are you going to talk about Butler? No? All right, no, I don't care what you have to say.
I know that you feel this way, but Bill Belichick will continue to have press conferences about things related to the team that do not have anything to do with the Super Bowl. And that's going to be the case. And you're never going to get an answer on that. You're never going to get it.
$25 burgers.
And I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that that's the truth. And as part of our job, we're going to continue to talk about the team and continue to talk about the Patriots.
I just won't talk about anything that he says.
That's not true, because if he says something revealing or says something important about the team or the future, you will indeed talk about it, Hardy.
What if I got him for the golf club and you could break down Sankety Head on Nantucket?
I wouldn't bring it up. I wouldn't bring up Butler. if he and I get to go play Sankaty Head together,
yeah,
I will withdraw my statement. I will.
You fraud.
You fraud. What? How long have you known me? You're just now figuring that out.
Long enough
that I'm 100% fraudulent.
Long enough.
Yeah. No kidding. Okay. Bill and I, Sankaty Head.
You ever played Sankaty Head?
Oh yeah,
twice last year.
Humbling.
No, I've never played Sankaty Head.
Yeah, leave your woods in the car. Spring your irons.
My cousin used to be a caddy there.
Yeah, it's. I think it's the only sleepaway caddy program left in the country.
Yeah.
You go there and caddy for the summer. You make good dough, and they keep it all for you. They put it in a little account, yep, and they give it to you at the end of the summer.
Playing Sankaty Head, and I actually had a drink at Jack Welch's house because it's off one of the greens there.
Sure.
I knew a guy I played with, and he said, let's go say hi to the big guy.
And all you right. knew Jack. Or he knew Jack. I'm sorry. Jack.
Yeah.
And you went to his house.
Yep. All is forgiven.
Big dogs.
Big dogs.
Zoe, line
of the fan.
A lot of crushed shells.
What's that?
Voice Jack of the Welch, fan. Voice of the fan.
Yeah, that was an ill-conceived idea.
It wasn't a good show. It's not one of his best things he's done.
Voice of the billionaire fan.
And UMass alum.
His house.
Jack.
Oh. Like that house popped there and you knew like, wow, this is a really expensive house.
But I just think Hardy is going to talk about Bill Belichick at some point if he says something worthwhile.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yes, you are. Yes, you will.
Not until he gives an answer on Butler or we play Sankaty Head. Those are the two stipulations.
Why do you think he's doing it, though? Why do you think he's holding this press conference? Just because he's been so involved in this process? Did someone have to ask him to do this, or did he volunteer this?
You have to ask him. Not you have to ask him. He had to be asked. He's not.
Who does the asking?
Do they even bother asking him? Don't they just assume it's going to be Casario?
You know what I do?
All right, we're going to schedule Nick's press conference for pre-draft, and he's like, oh, no, I'm doing it this year.
I think
that's the way it had to have gone down, right?
I think they go to Bears with the same question every year. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Now, I do stand corrected. I emceed one of the draft parties last year and had to introduce Coach, and he spoke with Jonathan. So he did address the crowd at the draft party. It wasn't public to the press. But that was on draft night.
This is after or before? When was it?
This is like a half hour before the draft started.
Oh, wow. That's
so
pretty good.
He came downstairs quick, addressed the crowd for about 5 minutes, said, good luck. We're ready to go and see what happens. Now, they didn't have a ton of picks, so that kind of.
How much does it cost to get into that room on draft night?
I'm sure it's a good one. Might be invitation only. I don't know. Yeah, they're blowing it out this year. See, I think that could be. What?
Just worried about Jim when he has the FU money from the Powerball.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about that room.
Oh, I'm not worried about that. Ain't my room.
I don't want to schmooze with celebrities. I just want to see the grinding process. Like, I want to see them going through the process.
I like the spread they put out. The open bar now.
You've been a wealth of knowledge today. You know that? Spreads. Size of Red Sox players.
I see a lot, man.
All things you've observed with your own two eyes.
Yes. I'm like, these nets aren't good for the people down low. Tell you what, I was just thinking, I wonder what the seats are like up there.
Stop.
Looks like they can see.
Well, we were just watching the Masters, and a guy got plunked with a ball by Fred Couples. Should they put netting at the Masters, too, all the way around?
Yes. No. Absolutely. Hardy's probably in favor of
it. You shouldn't be walking a damn
Hardy's
course.
Probably in favor of that.
You shouldn't.
They weren't walking. They were sitting in the stands.
And I've got a very healthy respect for being on a golf course at a tournament. I try not to stand anywhere where I think a ball is going to land to hit me. People will, line the tee boxes.
So you get annoyed with the crossers.
I didn't like doing that. You're 30 yards away from a guy who's teeing off.
Really?
And you're in the line of sight.
You don't even like being near the tee box?
I got a very healthy respect for that stuff.
Oh, badass.
What is?
No,
I got a healthy respect for baseball.
Oh, no, I'll be behind somebody or like directly in front of him. But if there's any way, one of these guys could, shank an iron or, and it doesn't happen, but it could.
Screamer.
Let me tell you something. Turn you off like a switch. You spend enough time on a golf course, you see someone get hit by a golf ball, ain't pretty.
You admit the Fenway nets are hideous, right?
I saw the picture that you sent out yesterday.
You got to be there in person. I did.
Zoe took some pictures.
Zoe sent one out yesterday. Yeah, it's not great, but if you want the nets down, then you are pro 3-year-old girl getting smashed.
No, 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 I think those Nets need significant improvements.
I think
there's got to be a better way.
I'd say 60 to 70% of the people are on their phones the entire time. You need Nets.
That's why you needed the Nets.
You need them down there.
Even if you're not on your phone,
it doesn't matter. You ain't stopping it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Felger can spout off about how he can protect his family of four. Sitting two seats away on a screaming foul ball that's coming at you at 100 miles an hour and curving. Fine. You're a superhuman. Most people are mere mortals, Mike, and everyone else who says you don't need the Nets up.
Now, somebody hit a foul by us, and it was foul, but it was a screamer.
I don't think they
need
to go as far as they've gone with them.
Not doing it.
How far out they've extended them.
I have not seen. I'll see Fenway this year for the first time on Thursday.
It's pretty far.
You won't be sitting with the Commoners either. I know how you roll.
Please. Nice. Come on. Come on.
I know how you roll. Joe is in New Hampshire. Joe. Okay, call us back, Joe, because that's a problem.
Good call.
Greg in Lincoln. Hi, Greg.
Hey, I completely agree with you, Hardy, and I will see your boycotting of Bill Belichick's interview and raise you boycotting the Patriots until Bill Belichick is gone. And I know it sounds crazy, but I am still just so upset and feel ripped off as a fan last year over everything that went down. I am going to support the Titans this year, Patriots South, Coach Vrabel, Butler.
No, you're such a fraud, Greg. You're such a liar.
No, I swear.
You're a liar. You're a liar. When we get to the second weekend of the playoffs and the Titans are back home in Tennessee getting ready for the offseason and the Patriots are marching on their way to the Super Bowl, you're not going to root for them then?
Nope. I hope Malcolm Butler runs it back for the game-winning interception.
You're either a liar or you weren't a Patriots fan to begin with. It's one of the two. Your choice. You have the choice, Greg. The power is yours.
Yeah, from a fellow fraud, Greg. Come on.
From a fellow fraud.
You're not doing that.
I smell your BS from all the way over here.
And I'm not
here.
A fraud. I'm telling you. Belichick's off the hook. One round at Sankey had, and we're good. We're best friends again.
Hardy has headlines. Don't go anywhere.
Sports Hub headlines.
Celtics take on the Bulls at the Garden tonight. Without Kyrie Irving, he'll be out for 4 or 5 months. He's going to undergo another procedure on his knee. So John Wallach will bring us the latest alongside Cedric Maxwell with the pregame starting at 7 o'clock right here on 98.5. The Sports Hub. Red Sox with a 3-2 12-inning win over the Rays and the Sox home opener yesterday. David Price, outstanding outing. 7 innings, 3 hits, no runs, and 3 walks to go along with 5 strikeouts. The series will continue tomorrow with Rick Porcello on the mound. Bruins lost to the Florida Panthers last night 3-2. They're home to take on the Senators tomorrow night. Revolution play the Montreal Impact tonight at Gillette Stadium. That game will be heard on our HD2 channel here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And at the Masters, round one leader Jordan Spieth went double bogey bogey on his first two holes to fall back into a huge group of players at 3 under par. Those like Patrick Reed, Charlie Hoffman, Henrik Stenson hadn't even teed off yet. Guys on the course right now, Matt Kuchar and Jordan Spieth are among those tied for the lead at 3 under par. Headlines brought to you by South Shore Bank, the bank more people count on for their mortgage business and all financial needs. SouthShoreBank.com, member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Before we get to that audio of Johnny Manziel, Joel's in Mansfield. Joel.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Sweet.
First, I want to agree with the last caller about Malcolm Butler. I still don't understand why he didn't play.
I don't either.
I wanted to talk about with losing Deion Lewis and the upcoming depth in the running back class for the draft, you guys foresee the Patriots picking up a running back to take some pressure off Brady and then building up on defense, or do you see him picking up the successor to Tom Brady? Thanks. I'll take the answer off
that. Okay.
I don't think running back's a priority, but I could see him drafting a guy in the third round. I'd go defense first, offensive tackle, quarterback, running back. I got your order. Like, Why do people keep saying, I see this too and hear this too, the safety help. How many freaking safeties you have? How many safeties that you have that play special teams that aren't going anywhere? Okay, you got enough corners now, I think. I mean, for what you're going to get a corner, what are you drafting a guy third or fourth round? You're not going to pick a guy high. The really good ones are going to be gone in the top 15 picks. Offensive tackle's a priority. You need depth there. Or you need a starter. I don't know where that kid from Notre Dame or the kid from UCLA, who a lot of people compare to Solder, are going to fall to. Maybe that's a sweet spot there, high 20s, you know, right in there. Get your Mankins-type player. And that's what they draft Mankins, 30? 30th overall? I think it was somewhere in that
I don't recall.
Somewhere in there.
Okay. Joel, thanks for the call. Let's get to Johnny Mantelli. He was on Dan Patrick's show a couple days back and was, I guess, brutally honest, as it's been played up. Very honest interview with Johnny Manziel. And Johnny Manziel talked about coming into the NFL with the Cleveland Browns and what he was transitioning from at A&M in the college game to what it takes to be a winner in the NFL. Right, so?
Yes.
And spoke about his time in Cleveland and kind of what he walked into there.
If Cleveland did any of their homework, they would have known that I was a guy that didn't come in every day and watch film. I was a guy that didn't really know the X's and O's of football. I played in a spread offense. We looked at bubbles. We looked at flats. We had progression reads across the field.
Time out. Why did Patriots draft Garoppolo? He didn't have a playbook. So now all of a sudden, if Cleveland did their homework, they would know that I ran a spread offense. I just throw for bubbles and open spots and spacing and flats, and we go high under, and it's really a smash route. I'm reading corner. I'm either throwing it to the flat or throwing it to him behind him.
You know what he's saying here? If Cleveland had known I wasn't a guy that wanted to put in the work.
If Cleveland knew that football wasn't important to me, they would have never drafted
him. There we go. Now we're hitting at the heart of Johnny
Manziel.
You
guys want him? Go ahead. Keep going.
We looked at bubbles. We looked at flats. We had progression reads across the field. It wasn't like it was a super intricate, like, pro system. So when I get to Cleveland, you know, I have a quarterback in the room with me that's not helping me. And it's not really his job, too, but nobody was there, like, helping me go over the X's and O's. And it was hard. I struggled.
Stop for a second. Who's the quarterback in the room with him?
That's a good question,
Who's
Scott
Who's the quarterback
Zolak?
In the room with him? His name's Brian Hoyer. You know what this makes me think about Brian Hoyer? Good for you. Not that because it's Johnny Manziel. Because guess what, Johnny? That guy's competing for the starting job. You think Brady helped Bledsoe? You think Bledsoe helped Brady? You think Brady helped Garoppolo? Yeah, he took him to the Kentucky Derby. You ever watch Tom when Jimmy was playing in a preseason? He stood 20 yards down, his arms crossed, looking pissed. You don't help each other at that position. What's the matter? Nobody at Kate, Texas A&M kissing your ass because you've been playing since you're a freshman? Here, Johnny, hold on. I'll get your room for you. Here, Johnny, I got your shirts ironed for you. What do you think happens at the next level? Say the running backs group or linebackers group where you got four or five different guys that all play and everybody gets a piece of it. It's quarterback in the NFL.
Do we have more from Manziel? More from Johnny?
It was hard. I struggled. And then getting on the practice field, I lost a lot of confidence after my first couple days there. Like, this was the first time in my life, at least since my freshman year of high school, that I wasn't playing really well. That I didn't come out the first day and throw the ball around and make a lot of completions and score touchdowns and everything. I struggled. And from there, you know, that's when the depression started to come. That's when some things, mental health-wise, started to really change what was going on in my life. But I would go back to after the draft and getting with someone or putting in extra time or whatever it was to make sure that I really genuinely understood everything that was going on. There was a lot of winging it and not a lot of, you know, knowing exactly what I was doing because it was a hard transition for me. I didn't know everything. And the next year when I got with Josh McCown, that guy was like, listen, if you want to, you can come with me every day. You can get here when I get here. You can leave when I leave. If you want to be good, just follow what I'm doing. I've been doing this for a long time, and there's a reason that I'm still in the league this long down the road. And me and him got along great.
He's a good dude, man. He's
what?
Awesome. He really is.
How does Dan Patrick know he's a good? What is that?
Well, he's probably talking.
He's a good dude, man.
I'm a good dude.
He's a good dude.
He's a good dude.
Oh,
hey, Johnny, I've been in the league for 16 years. I just barely hang on. If you want to hang on in this league but not really be a really good star. Manziel just thought he was going to roll out of bed, not apply himself, and just...
He confirmed it
for
you.
But you know what?
Thought it was going to be easy, like high school.
Then depression set in. Because I wasn't, you know, I lacked confidence. I couldn't throw the ball. Right. Wow, you didn't practice, you didn't apply yourself, and you didn't work out, and you didn't watch film. Wow, and the other guys were competing with you, ran circles around you.
Yep. And, I mean, obviously, there were so many good quarterbacks there. Josh McCown, Brian Hoyer. I mean, really.
Do you understand who beat him out? Do you have any clue who has beaten him out? I mean, and you think it's going
to
come here?
So he admits in Cleveland that it was a train wreck and he didn't know how to make the transition to the NFL.
Yeah.
Do you know what that confirms?
I don't want him here.
He has not made the transition to the NFL. Yeah. He still has never done any of those things.
He's been out of football.
Let's see if he finds a team.
Let's weigh him in.
See if he finds a team.
Let's get his measurements.
And apparently he and Brian Hoyer don't get along.
They never said that. Just said he didn't help him.
No.
Hoyer's learned from the best in not helping him.
So the headline that's going around says it was a toxic situation. I listened to the whole 20-minute interview. I didn't hear him say toxic at all.
I think he's toxic.
That's all I heard.
I think he's toxic. I think he's toxic.
I think he was toxic, and he admits he was toxic. Didn't he just admit that?
Oh, he kind of told you what the root of the problem was and how he allowed himself to get to a point where, hey, it's on me. I didn't prepare. And I lacked confidence, and eventually the depression set in.
He said, I didn't go out of my way to make sure I knew what stuff. I was waiting for people to show me what to do, and I didn't. And I, you know.
The toxic comment came in a tweet from Manziel. He retweeted Pro Football Talk. Pro Football Talk put out a tweet that says, Johnny Manziel blames the Browns for not realizing he was duping them into thinking he'd actually work hard and study. And that was then their write-up of the Dan Patrick interview. He retweeted it and wrote, draft a QB in the first round and put him into a toxic quarterback room versus what it was like my second year with McCown. Completely different situation. It's all about the right fit, and mine in Cleveland wasn't right. That's just the facts. I also have nobody to blame but myself. He called it a toxic quarterback situation in a follow-up tweet, which means he called that situation with Brian Hoyer toxic.
He went further than he did on the interview.
Correct. He took it another step
once he
followed up on the write-up by Pro Football Talk.
And the reason Brady loves Hoyer is because Hoyer runs the entire offseason program. He gets all the guys together, throws in the bubble. They go down to this place called Emplex down in Foxborough, and Hoyer's nut about this.
Do you know why I think Brian Hoyer is still in the NFL right now? Because he does all the work.
He works.
Because he puts in the work. Because he is a film guy. Because he is someone that's committed to football. Not because he's a good quarterback. That is not why. Because I've seen him play. You've seen him play.
Yeah. I'm with you on this.
Guys like that will stick around because they put in the work.
Be available.
And they're easy to coach. And they're willing to do whatever is asked of them. And they put in the work. That's why guys like Brady love Brian Hoyer. That's why Bill Belichick wanted to bring back Brian Hoyer. So then you hear that Manziel and Brian Hoyer are like oil and water, and you have Johnny Manziel saying it was toxic because he had to be in a room with Brian Hoyer. I hope Bill Belichick goes and asks Brian Hoyer what he thinks of Johnny Manziel. That, to me, would be perfect.
Good job, Clark.
Good entertainment.
Save the neck for me. Bill Parcells told me all the time, because you know why I like you? You're a gym rat. What do you mean, gym rat? That's like, no, you mean, you like being here. You know, you're done with your workouts. What are you doing? You're sitting in here talking to guys in the locker room. You're hanging out all the time. Everybody's in here. Guys that want to be in the building. He's not a guy that wants to be in the building. You know, he is Billy Joe Tolliver. Remember that guy got thrown into the game? He's like, oh, crap.
No, it wasn't Tolliver. It was Hobert.
Billy Joe Hobert.
I'm sorry. I stand corrected. Billy Joe Hobert.
Buffalo Bills.
He set a record. I didn't study.
I didn't do my work.
I didn't think I was going to play. I didn't prepare. I was the backup. You people want him? That's what you want in this locker room here? After everything you know about what it takes to play that position and how these guys apply themselves, that's what you want because everybody deserves a second chance? I'm all set there. Give me a third-round pick you could develop. Give me a third rounder that's going to come in, see Brady, and go, oh, I'm going to bust my ass. Because he's busting his ass, and so is Brian Hoyer.
You bust your ass. You bust your ass.
You bust his ass. I'll bust mine. You bust his.
98.5 The Sports Hub, the home of your New England Patriots, keeps you up to date on everything you need to know heading into the NFL Draft. The voice of the Patriots, Bob Soucy, hosts the NFL Draft Preview Show. Get the latest Sunday mornings at 10 and streaming on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. The NFL Draft Preview Show, sponsored by Carrier, Turn to the Experts, and the Peterson School. On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Are they aliens?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Jesse is a friend. Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine. But lately something's changed in a heart of mine. Jesse's got himself a girl and I wanna make her mine. And she's watching him with those eyes. And she's loving with that body, I just know it. And he's holding her in his arms late, late at night. You know, I wish that I had Jesse's girl. I wish that I had Jesse's girl. Where can I find a woman like that? I'll play along with the charade.
Jim just said it, and he's 100% right. We really need this weather to break. We really could use a Yacht Rock Friday here.
Oh, today would be perfect, too. Imagine it was like 60 and sunny or 65 and sunny, and you got some work, or you got to go down a Cape, but since they're doing all that work on the Sagamore Bridge, it's like 5 miles takes 77
That's
minutes.
That's going to be fixed by the long
weekend.
Instead,
it's going to be whiteout conditions driving home, though.
Jesse's girl!
Today?
It's snowing now.
Yeah,
it is?
Snowing. Yes.
Yeah.
It's snowing outside?
Yes.
Oh, the hell with this. I saw Eric Fisher put out a tweet. Yeah.
Have fun if you're on the Red Sox tomorrow. Because I froze my ass off yesterday. At least it wasn't snowing.
Eric Fisher's tweet 4 hours ago said, definitely getting the winter-ish until it's summer vibe.
Well, thanks, Eric. I couldn't tell that.
He tweeted out this map that, I don't know, shows
map.
Winter cold systems that are going to continue to move across the United States and through New England.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to go on camera and do it, because everybody's going to be angry with him.
Something about El Nino's coming back later this year.
I love that, El Nino.
That was Sergio's nickname for a minute.
El Guapo.
That El Nino ain't coming back.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But it doesn't look good. Doesn't look good.
My daughter had practice last night.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this to be, you know, funny or exaggerate, there were girls crying.
Why were they crying?
Because
coach yelling at them again?
I did a little bit of yelling toward the end of practice. Do it right, and you can go home.
Not focusing?
The field that they were practicing, the field they're practicing on last night is on a very high point in this particular town, completely exposed. 7:30 practice. So I think the air temp
too cold for him.
I think the air temp was like 36. It's probably a 20-mile-an-hour sustained wind.
Why wouldn't you cancel practice?
You had them out there and you were yelling at them.
You deserve it if 7:30 practice.
Well,
this time of year,
because
lucky lightning.
We had
strike.
Practice because they had to cancel two of the four practices we've had scheduled already.
We haven't practiced for 2 weeks.
Lacrosse.
A real sport, Jim.
And we got a game coming up on Sunday against an actual lacrosse town with a bunch of girls who have never played before.
And I'm Hardy doesn't like to
We got to practice. We got to figure out how to play this game so we don't get beat 150 to nothing
game?
On Sunday.
When is this game? I might show up and film it.
You're not. You know what?
I can't.
I'll send a car for you and you won't show up.
I won't.
So there's
I will be at
zero
UMass.
Threat there.
I'll be at UMass all day on Sunday.
Oh, congratulations.
And my other daughter's got two games on Sunday, so I won't be at those. I'll miss her games.
But it was brutal last night. I mean, it was that was legit cold. That was not like, wow, this is cold for April cold. No, that's, wow, it sucks out here cold. I'm not happy about it.
Yeah.
Snowing out there right now. Zoe and I were just outside.
Sure.
Did you see the flurries?
Yeah, they were pinging off my glasses.
Uh-huh.
Glad you had your glasses on. You got new ones today.
Yeah.
Where are those from?
These are
let me see those.
Let's see those for a second.
Oh, yeah, Panama Jacks.
Yeah. Oh, look at that.
What, they were out of Foster Grants?
Yeah. They were out of the Blue Blockers.
Kevin's in Worcester. Hey, Kevin.
Yes.
Yes.
You had a caller on earlier who mentioned that he felt cheated by Belichick's refusal to put the best product on the field versus the Eagles. That touched a hot button with me, so now I got to go back to 06. Belichick pulling the defense off when we were up by 20 points against the Colts cost us that Super Bowl.
Wait a minute, you think he pulled the defense off in that game?
No, he pulled the defense back. Like, he started playing lax defense because we were up by so many points.
I think they ran out of gas and had guys like Eric Alexander playing middle linebacker in that game. I remember that one going a little differently.
I understand what you're saying, but I just want to keep going real quick and then you guys can get to it.
Okay.
In 2007 in the Super Bowl, it was the first quarter and it was 4th and 14 and we had a 48-yard field goal. We went for it on 4th and 14, cost us the Super Bowl. Moving right along, 2011 against the Jets, we decided to, hey, what's the hot take? Let's keep Welker out for the first quarter. What do you know? We lose by 6 points. And then the Malcolm Butler decision. That's four extra rings that the Patriots should have. So my question for you guys is it possible to be the greatest dynasty in NFL history and possibly the greatest dynasty in sports history, yet still feel like your team underachieved?
Okay. Those are two separate things, though. Can you feel like the Patriots underachieved in this era and should have had more Super Bowls? Yes, you can. That is allowed. To say that they lost 4 Super Bowls because of their head coach, I'm not going there with you. I don't believe that is allowed.
I take it a different way. You can say that they should have won more Super Bowls than they did and that they
underachieved.
Yeah,
that's the first part.
But you are being an obnoxious jackass if you say that.
More and more you continue to bring up the Super Bowl 52 loss. It is a bigger loss than the 2007 undefeated year because that was a good team. You lost a good team.
They did underachieve in this era. They were that much better than the rest of the league. Sorry, Hardy. Truth, fact, story over. They had too many opportunities that they didn't take advantage of. 2006, to me, will always sting the most because that was the Super Bowl in Indianapolis.
Rex Grossman, those
were the two best teams in the National Football League. The Patriots were up 21-3 at the half, and they blew it. They were in a position to go back to the Super Bowl and win it again when really they had not done everything they could do to make that the best possible team. That was the year they moved on from Deion Branch. And they blew it. And they blew it because they didn't have enough on defense. Not because they pulled back. They didn't have enough on defense.
Did they overachieve in 2001?
Yes.
Yes.
Did they overachieve in 2011 just getting to the Super Bowl?
Yes. Yes.
So I think there's just as many examples of overachieving as opposed to underachieving. So I think it's right where it should be.
Jim Louth.
But the bottom line out of all this is they're good enough to always, and there's another team in the league.
Wait, that guy just said they should have won the 2010 Super Bowl.
When
Welker got benched for a series, so that means they should have beaten the Jets, and then the next week beaten the Steelers, and then the next week beaten the Packers in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
That's one of the four rings that they cost him.
I wasn't buying that one.
Wait, which one?
He said the Welker bench. It cost him a ring.
Oh, no, it didn't. No, not even close.
Did he say that the last call?
Yeah. That was one of the four rings that Belichick cost them.
No, but they were the number one seed, and you had the bye and all that.
It's unfortunate, but it happens.
You get your ass popped. Yeah.
You can't have the same quarterback coach combo over the course of any amount of time, win 5 Super Bowls, and whine about them underachieving.
They should add 2 more in there. Somewhere there should have been 2 more.
And
in there.
Jim just made a case for 2 or for 2.
Okay, so
one, certainly
so
one.
So then they should be up 1 more somewhere in there, Jim. they're -1 right now. They're -1. If you want to count 2001 against them,
frankly,
that's your choice.
The way they ended up winning that game in Atlanta, as awesome as it was, they had no business winning that game. They had no business winning that game against the Falcons.
They were down 25. There's no other team capable of doing that.
They should have won that game.
I don't think there's
25.
Another team in the National Football League capable of that.
You
can say the Falcons screwed up, which they most certainly did, and we know that.
Yes.
But I don't think there's another team in the league that could have taken advantage of them the way the Patriots did.
But after After getting themselves,
I reject it.
After getting
not a
themselves,
single team. Name me the team. Name me what team could have come back and won that game? Not named Brady, Belichick, Amendola, Welker, New England. Welker, whoops, Edelman, New England Patriots. You tell me what other team would have been able to do it?
Could you ever see it happening
again?
You
can't do it.
Could you ever see it happening again?
No, it's a once-in-a-lifetime comeback.
That's right. It's a once-in-a-lifetime. It could have gone either way. It was a coin flip.
Stop it.
Total coin flip.
Stop
the fact
it.
That
they, tell me
you
the
know
team.
What?
Tell me the team.
I tell you what.
Name me the quarterback.
It literally
coach
was
done
a coin flip. They get possession in overtime, drive down the field, and score.
I didn't know this about you. I didn't know you were unwilling to give the Patriots credit for Super Bowl 51. What other team? Name
only
me the team. Who
when I'm backed into a corner by an obnoxious Pats fan like you saying that they underachieved in the Brady Belichick era.
Because they did.
That's
I feel
obnoxious.
Like they cheated themselves.
Only
I
the
do.
Underachieving Belichick and Brady could have led them to a comeback, I guess.
Feel,
right?
I feel like they have not maximized the number of wins they could have had in this era. I do. I feel like they could have had more. And they missed out on some chances by their own
twit.
Doing. By no one else's fault but
this
their
is,
own.
This is why the rest of the country
but,
hates the Patriots
yes,
and their fans.
Yes, that's fine. This,
you.
You know what it
listen,
comes with?
You right now.
It comes with the territory.
You.
Of being the best. I apologize to America for that. Now tell
it's hard
me,
to be the best, Hardy.
It is. It's yeah. hard to be the king sitting on the throne. Everyone wants to dethrone you. Everyone wants to take you down. It's okay. Tell me the other team in the NFL that could have come back and done in Super Bowl 51 what the Patriots did. Was Drew Brees, Saints, Sean Payton, Aaron Rodgers, and the Packers? Which team?
So many things.
Who could have done it?
So many things were just
Manning
like
Manning beat the Patriots down 21-3.
The back-to-back 2-point conversions at the end. You're like, come on, this it was ridiculous, and it wasn't all the
21-3 in their own building, RCA Dome, with all the fake noise. Please, in a bad Patriots defense,
Bill Polian.
That's not one of the ones you're saying they underachieved. Then that's out. That's not an underachievement. Then that year,
no, it is. They're up 21-3. You got to hang on there. You got to find a way to win.
So coming
you can't
back
have it both ways.
You got to find a way to win.
So
yes,
coming back down 25 points late in the third quarter, 28-3 in the Super Bowl. That's no big deal. That's what they do.
No,
that's what they're supposed to do.
617
That went according to script, according
0985. We'll wait for Hardy's answer on which other NFL team could have won Super Bowl 51.
This is like Jones and Cattle.
In the fashion the Patriots did. I'll wait. I'll wait for your answer. Headlines, 90 seconds.